All right, we're continuing actually our series on dynamics of divine order, dynamics of coverings, and we might as well just keep shaking them up. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, this is a very difficult chapter if you don't understand where Paul's coming from, but once you understand where he's coming from, it becomes very easy, and it's very powerful what's going on in these verses. We're going to begin verse 3 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It will pass in review just a bit. He says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now, when you see head there, when you read head, it's covering. It's not a domineering headship. It's a covering. It's really what the word is. Covering. The covering of every man is Christ. The covering of the woman is the man. He's speaking of marriage here. And the covering of Christ is God. So he has a divine order. And for just sake of teaching one more time, just give me four people up here really quick. John, you make great father. Oh, Enrique, yeah, you're a great Jesus. Come on over here, Enrique. And then Anna, you come up here and me and you'll do the other. Okay. God the Father, Christ, the husband, and the wife. That's divine order from heaven. That's the way God set up order. There is an order in the heavenlies. Now, it gets a little awkward when this happens. You see that? That's called every man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonoreth his head, which is Christ. Because the woman, in that particular instance, the woman didn't have any major issues going on. It's because the man laid down spiritually and the woman was forced to take the spiritual role in the house. And she has to step up and take that spiritual role because he won't. And it says to the man, a man praying or prophesying with his head covered dishonoreth his head, which is Christ. Because he is supposed to be the one that's called, anointed, and equipped from heaven to carry the household, to cover the household in love, in a nurturing, and lead it spiritually, to stay before the Lord and lead that household. But when that doesn't happen, this occurs. Okay? All right. Amen. Thank you, fellas. You can also put children down there and put them on top of it because that happens too. Whenever there's a breach in divine order from heaven, what happens? The enemy has instantaneous access because there's a breach. God operates through covering. And when things are divine order, the enemy cannot get in. There's also such an order as well when the husband's not properly covering the household. He may be covering in the wrong spirit, domineering kind of thing. When that happens, there's also a breach in divine order. Many things that happen in the household, we say the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that. A lot of times you can trace it right back to a breach in divine order, and he's going to have continual getting quiet in here. I hadn't even started in the heavy parts yet. Amen. Amen. When there is a breach in divine order, when that happens, the enemy has access into the household, and the Lord wants to seal up the breaches. It also happens in church covering. You know there are people out there that just don't want to be under a church covering. They just want to do their own thing, and it never prospers. Because God operates through a body. He operates through a government. He operates through a system of covering. That's the way he set it up. We're covered as a church. We're covered from Tulsa. I have a spiritual father. I'm accountable to three men, Tim Stemple, Gary Carpenter, Dave Roberson. Gary Carpenter, he's not even my pastor, and he's the toughest of all three of them. When I call him and wanting to hear something, you know, a lot of times when you're wanting to go to somebody, don't pick somebody that's always going to agree with you. Because they're just going to keep you in the same problem you're in already. You go to somebody that'll tell you the truth. Because you're never going to grow if someone does not tell you the truth. If you always, some people say, well, and they want to go there and they don't want to hear that because they don't want everybody. Listen, everybody needs help. Is there anybody perfect in this congregation besides Anna? I could have said me. I got a bunch of booze there, you know. She's a better sell, for certain. But you know, when you get in a situation, listen, the kingdom of God is about development. It's about growth. It's about maturity. Even in Joel's army, speaking of the last day army that would come and arise, it said they would not break rank. That is only a people that will not break rank is a people of maturity. Immature people will constantly break rank. It's that maturing process that gets us to hold, to find out who we are, where we fit, where we're planted. I tell you, when we line things up with our spiritual authority, you know, there was a day that I just wanted so much just to run around with my spiritual father. That's all I wanted to do, just be his armor bearer. That was my whole life's ambition. You know, you get that when you get a spiritual father. You get real connected to them, and you wanted that. But the Lord really never gave me that. And now he's having us minister side by side. It's a beautiful thing. Our covering is coming down from Tulsa in January. They're bringing their whole staff. They're taking off the whole week, bringing their staff to come down here and serve what we're doing here. Isn't that wonderful? They're coming and being a blessing to us. It's a wonderful thing. And you know, we need to understand that. Now, it didn't come without a price. There was many, many times that I had issues, you know, and I would bring those and they would just tell me flat out, you're wrong. You need to ship up, shape up right here. I didn't want to hear it at the time. We never really like to hear that we have any problems. We really don't. You know, the Lord's very gracious and he's very patient with our issues. He doesn't just demand things. He's not a domineering Lord, and me as husbands cannot be domineering either. We have to lead in the same example that our Lord leads us. He's very patient with our change. But when that time comes, when God gives an allotted time for change and we're dragging our feet, then what happens? The heat gets turned up in the kitchen. How many know with enough heat, the dross will come to the top? And when the draw starts coming to the top, it's because the heat has been turned up. Why? Because there is a perfection. You didn't think the Lord was going to call you and leave you the same for the rest of your life, did you? Oh, my goodness. Just call yourself a rubber band. You're going to get stretched. And when you don't get stretched, you're going to get stretched some more. And you're going to get stretched some more because the kingdom of God is stretching you. That's why he says he's the author and the finisher. He's not just the author. He's not going to stay the author all your life and just stay there right there with a big chip of wood. No, he's got a hammer. He's got a chisel. He describes you as a pot of clay, you know. His hands get on you. You ever seen those potters and they move that clay around? You know what that clay does? Hey, I don't like, I don't want to be bent that way. You know, if you're a brick, you can't never be bent. If you're born a brick, you're going to forever be a brick. You know, I have a Granite Head Award a year that I issue out every year. I have a friend that wins that award every single year. Probably going to win it this year too. What's Granite Head? Just refuses to change. Just will not change. You know, you're not ever going to go anywhere with the Lord. There's never going to be peace and harmony in your life until you line up with God. You got to line up with him and become sensitive and flexible. Okay, that's my introduction. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Now, verse 4, he said, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered, dishonor his head because he's laying down. We looked at Abraham in a time in his life where he lay down and Sarah took the reins over, you know, and that was the birthing of Ishmael. Listen, whenever there is a breach in divine order, there's going to result with flesh. And when flesh gets, you're going to also have Ishmael, and it never stops. It's just a continual thing. You see, there's a lot of disharmony. There's a lot of torment. There's a lack of peace. And see, when God has everything in covering, there's peace. There's harmony. There's righteousness. There's order. Could you imagine the military without any order? You know, we don't have any problem understanding that, but the kingdom of God has order too. Even the angels have a ranking system. It's not that you're greater. There's a covering aspect because everyone's made differently. The Father made women. We'll get into this scripture right now. Let's go ahead and look at it. Amen. It says, verse 5, we're going to stick with this one today. But every woman that pray or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, which is her husband, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. She's appearing. Because in those days, the temple prostitutes, you know, they shaved their head and, you know, it was a sign of their rebellion. And he says, listen, if a woman is praying or prophesying, I know I'm getting these looks right now, but it's okay. I love you. You know, when a woman is praying or prophesying uncovered, meaning she refuses to operate inside the covering of God, which was a big, big problem in the early church. He says, you're appearing and walking around like you were shaven. You're appearing to everybody if you were shaving. He goes, if you're going to continue to do that, then why not just shave your head? That's what he was talking about. But really, he's talking about the covering aspects of God. And in the covering aspects of God, God did this for a safety purpose, not for a domineering purpose. It was a safety and a covering from on heaven. Amen? All right. So we're going to look, help me, Lord Jesus, at a very notorious woman. Now, listen, I want to tell you this in advance. Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Say, I love you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Anybody ever heard of the spirit of Jezebel? Ooh! Listen, that spirit can reign in women and men. So just so you know, we're not just talking to women today, but we're going to talk about, because Paul is exhorting on the dangers of not being covered. Look at verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The woman ought to be covered because of the angels. You know, that's a very difficult verse for people that don't quite understand that. And what he was talking about, said, listen, anytime you hear Paul talking about women, you know, they should be silent and shouldn't preach in the church. You know, that's just not the spirit of the Lord, because you know Anna the prophetess. She was called a prophetess, ordered in the fivefold ministry. She boldly saw Jesus, and she proclaimed him to all of the people. You saw it was a God-ordained ministry, and here Paul says, I suffer not a woman to preach. And what he's really talking about here, he's not talking about women in general. There's a big problem going on, because there are women that came outside of the coverings that God instituted in the body of Christ. And when they went outside that covering, they began to pray and prophesy, and there was a lot of rebellion. And these are the ones that Paul was talking about the whole time. So when he says this in this verse, he says, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. He goes back into the garden, because he begins to talk about the original garden with Adam and Eve. And he's talking about that time that Eve was deceived. During that time, he says, the woman being deceived, not the man. But also, if you remember, why did Satan come after her and not Adam? If you remember, he came after her. Why? He wanted to cause a breach in divine order. He got her to move. But listen, when she picked that fruit, she turned and handed it to Adam. He was standing there right next to her. When that breach came, he was standing right there. He laid down on the job and watched her do that. If he would have taken his covering, proper spiritual covering, he could have said, no, God told us not to touch it. He could have said, no, he could have stood in his place, covered her, and stopped that breach right there. And that's what Paul was saying. Listen, you don't understand. When things come out of covering, there's a danger. For this cause, a woman should have power over her head. She should have this proper covering. Because when she comes out of this covering, there's a real danger there. And not just women. When a man steps out of his covering, when children step out, when we step out of covering in the church, when we step out of the order that God has assigned, there's a breach. And so there's a notorious woman in the Bible, a very notorious woman, that refused covering. I want to look at it a little bit today. So go over to 1 Kings chapter 18. Glory to God forever. Say, love you, Pastor! Now, Paul continually, throughout the New Testament, was warning of this kind of danger when he stepped out of covering. And now we're going to look at a woman that was very notorious for this. Now, we'll pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 18. If you remember, there was a famine in the land, and Obadiah and Ahab were looking for water, and Elijah runs into Obadiah. Now, when Elijah runs into him, he says, listen, go tell Ahab I'm looking for him. He says, look, if I go tell him you're looking for him and you're not back here, when we get back, he's going to kill me. And he says, as the Lord liveth, I will be here, but I want to talk to him. So now Obadiah brings Ahab. Now, Ahab's the husband of Jezebel. Now, you have two conflicting personality types here. Jezebel is the controlling, domineering, independent, refuses covering. And then you have Ahab. He's the intimidated fear. He does not know how to take his role as the king, as the man of the household. Now, watch when he has a run-in with Elijah here in verse 17, 1 Kings 18. And said, it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab said that to Elijah. And he answered, I've not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and thou have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel in the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400. 850 people there. Not just 450. 850 false prophets, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now, she was killing all the prophets in the land. And Obadiah, actually, though he was working under Ahab, he went and hid 150 prophets in the king's chamber because she was killing them off. And what Paul was saying, look, doesn't history even tell you the dangers? Now, this is the most notorious of all right here. Whenever divine order is breached, there is a major danger that goes out there because there is something that comes into that breach. Sometimes we are rendered powerless to deal with what comes at us because we're outside of the covering. And whenever coverings breach, we lose our ability to see in the spirit. We lose our ability to discern in the spirit, and we become accessible to false doctrine. We become accessible to deception, heresy, the wrong spirit. You know, there are people that move in the wrong spirit and you couldn't convince them of nothing. I have had meetings before with all of the elders sitting in the room, and somebody would be there, and we're just in love trying to correct somebody and say, look, you're moving off base just a little bit here. And that person would just stand there in front of all of us and look us in the face and just tell every one of us, you're off, you're off, you're off. Would refuse to bend. Just almost go to the grave with that kind of deception. There's nothing or nobody can talk to them. What do you do? What does God do for somebody like that? God deals with authority. Authority is called to correct when things get out of line. But when you step out of that covering, sometimes you just can't see. And you protect what you believe to the grave. I had a man come one time and he was prophesying in the church. You got that Old Testament kind of deal working, you know, where judgment and all this. This is the wrong spirit, you could tell. And you know, the Bible says you got to judge these things. And we just judge, and we got together and said, no, this just doesn't feel right. But we didn't say anything. I didn't want to destroy this confidence, you know. But then he'd come up again and do it again. So we said, you know, there's something a little off here. We just want to look into this. Just refused. Just refused to look into it. Would not undergo correction. And you know, to this day, that particular person just goes from place to place to place. It's not really connected anywhere. You know, when people refuse to come under correction, they'll get out there in left field by themselves. They have a ministry all themselves. Why? Because what they're saying, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Now, I do know that there's also dangers in coverings. I know that there's been a lot of abuse in the spirit with coverings. I know there's been that shepherding movement. You couldn't even so much as tie your shoelace without telling somebody, you know. You know, we got a little out of hand, but when there's things that get out of hand, but you know, God brings all that back in alignment. But it doesn't do away with the institution that God created, because it was a safety. It wasn't a bondage, it was a safety. But sometimes, when we have certain situations, if we've been hurt, if we've been abused in our life, and we grew up having forced to take on roles that we weren't called to take, you know, sometimes when we grow up, we're forced to take on a role that we weren't designed to take on. And there's a hardness that develops, and there's walls that develop around us. And when that walls develop around us, we have a tendency where we don't want to submit that. You see what I mean? And those walls are there. And why? Because if I do this, you might hurt me the same way the last guy did. And I've already been through that abuse, so I'm not going through it again. So I'm just staying out here. But you know, that's not the lesson the Lord wants us to learn either. Because it doesn't do away with his institution. You still got to be able to be flexible and bend. Otherwise, you're just going to be a lone ranger out there all the time, seeing things the way you see it. Hey, listen, you got to give a little testament to deception. There is a whole army of people on the other side of the world that will kill children and blow them up. Blow up families and not think a thing in the world under the idea that God's calling me to do it. You know, and there's everything in between. And see what Paul's saying is, if you get out from under this, things will come at you, but you lose your ability to discern it. When you're undercovering, you can discern and see things. When you're outside, you lose your ability to see. And if you stay out there long enough, something will grab a hold of you out there. And now he starts warning. He says, look, look, look. The Bible's given to us for examples. Now, of course, this is the worst case, I guess you could say. But still, there is a power out there. And that's what Paul said. A woman should have power over her head. Men should stay under fellowship with God. Everybody should stay under covering. So, Elijah calls this big showdown because Jezebel's destroying the prophet. She's in rule and reign, and Ahab's letting her do it. He's laying down. He was called to be king, anointed by God. So he has this big showdown, and of course, you know, they put the sacrifices on the altar, and those prophets of Baal, they dance around it. They cut themselves, and, you know, Elijah saying, call upon your God. And they dance around it all day, and of course, Elijah comes in because he made a challenge to them. And he says, not only will my God come down with fire and consume this sacrifice, he goes, pour water. He had truckloads of water poured all over the sacrifice. He goes, get it running deep. When he got it running deep, he called upon his God. I mean God, come down with fire. And he consumed that sacrifice. And when he did it, all those prophets that ate at Jezebel's table, gone. Destroyed. Now watch what happens. She's not happy. She's not happy at all. Go to 1 Kings 19 and 1. Now remember Elijah, the mighty Elijah, raising the dead, calling fire down, just destroyed 850 men under the anointing of God. Outrun chariots. I mean, this kind of guy. Watch what happens when he encounters the Spirit. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. 1 Kings 19:1, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. 850 with a sword? Wow. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. Look at this woman, or the spirit in this woman, just refuses to bend. Listen, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She had gone so far out there. Ahab had laid down. Intimidation, fear is working in him. Total breach of divine order. They are called. And it was an institution of God. Ahab was called into that office. And that spirit is reigning now. And nobody's dealing with it. Verse 3, and when he saw that he arose, listen to this. Elijah heard this news, just slew 850. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. He came under contact with that spirit. Listen, you cannot confront a spirit of manipulation, control, domination with weakness. Even Elijah, with all his strength, when he came up under that spirit, look at the effect it had on him. That was Paul was saying, you don't understand the danger of what you're opening the door to. When there's domination and control anywhere, you lose your ability to see and look at the havoc that can be wreaked from it. You don't understand. Even Elijah couldn't even stand under it. He got up under that. He wanted to go home and die and be with the Lord. You know, sometimes when you come up under that spirit, everything about it wants control. It will use anger. You can see all three or four of them manifest within a 5-minute period. If anger doesn't work, you go to self-pity. Poor me. You don't love me. If that doesn't work, then anger and violence, anything to gain control. Listen, you cannot be weak in dealing with that. You have to disassociate the person and the spirit that's operating from it. If you don't, you come right up under it like Elijah did. I'm telling you the truth. He said it's enough. He laid down under it. Wanted to die, but God wasn't through. Because God was about to use him because he confronted her again and prophesied her destruction. Now I want you to see something here. Go to 2 Kings chapter 9. Now Elijah, he prophesied her destruction, or the spirit that's operating. Now look at this in verse 20. I want you to see this truth right here, because this is very powerful. And the watchman told, saying, now what's happening is there's a whole other leadership, and God has anointed Jehu now. And Jehu is on his way to fulfill the prophecy of Elijah, that this woman's coming down, or this spirit that's been reigning over Israel is coming down. And the watchman told, saying, He came even unto them, and cometh not again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he driveth furiously. And Joram said, Make ready, and his chariot was ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out against Jehu, and met him in the portion of Naboth the Jezreelite. And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, he said, Is it peace, Jehu? Is it peace? Do you come in peace? And he answers, What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. He said, There is no peace in the land as long as that spirit's in operation. You find a spirit of control and dominance, you will not have peace anywhere. There is no peace if that spirit is reigning. Whether it's reigning in a man, whether it's reigning in spiritual authority, whether it's reigning in a woman, reigning in children, there is no peace. Because that spirit was sent to breach divine order. And when it breaches divine order, there is no peace in Jehu. I listen, you have to deal with it with the spirit of Jehu. There is no other way. He came after that, and that spirit came down just like Elijah said it would. Threw off the wall, trampled. He says, look at the dangers. Even in the garden when divine order was breached, and Eve stepped out of covering and received, and Adam watched her do it. Look what happened. Look what happened with Abraham and Sarah when they stepped out of order. Ishmael was produced. Look what happened in the kingdom right here when Ahaz refused to cover and that spirit began to reign. Listen, when a spirit is left unchecked like that, it grows in power, but it grows in the wrong kind of power. There is no harmony. There is no peace. There is no habitation of God unless everything is in order. And when someone walks out of order and refuses to come, and that was really what was happening in the New Testament, that same spirit that was in the garden came out. You know why? He said, if this broke up the original relationship with the first Adam and his bride, then I'll just come again to the last Adam and his bride, and I'll bring the same spirit. And in the early church, that spirit began to operate. And this is why Paul was so strong with women. He wasn't telling women they couldn't preach. He was dealing with a sect of women that refused to come under covering, that refused to operate under spiritual authority. And Paul said, I will not suffer that to happen in the church. But not only did he correct women, he corrected men as well. Because he was correcting that spirit. We have a responsibility, my friends. You cannot let something like that go unchecked. If it does, it grows and it causes a disruption in harmony and a disruption in peace. You know, there are certain works that go on with the Lord. They just flow and they flow and they flow so smoothly. And then other works, just constant problems. You know, there are families that just flow together. It's just wonderful. There's a unity. There's a harmony. And then there's other families, just stuff all the time. You know why that stuff is there? Because there is a breach. And either the man hasn't fixed it, the woman hasn't fixed it, they haven't fixed the situation, and it keeps growing. And until that breach is dealt with, listen, you can cast the devil out all day long, but if you don't deal with the breach, he's got an inroad. He has free access. You'll have the same problems next year as you had this year. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You know, the Lord, He grants that covering for a purpose because people are called to see. The very nature even of a pastor, you have an anointing to see. God gives you that equipping. Listen, if God calls a shepherd, He legitimately calls a shepherd, what does a shepherd do? Watches. He can see. Sometimes the little lambs cannot see what's coming at them. As much as they want it, they can't see. And if they can't see, they're going to come in danger. God gives elders and coverings, wine, not to domineer over your life. That is not the spirit we're called to operate in. We are not called to control you, your ministry, or your life, your family. We're called to watch over, be helpers of your joy. So that's even what Paul was talking to the husbands. He said, love your wives, nourish, care for them in the same way the Lord's caring for you. He's not calling you to treat them like a doormat. wrong spirit. And he's also, sometimes a woman gets a deep wound, you know, from childhood, and something happened maybe in the realm of authority. You know, that wound can fester and grow all their life. Every time they meet authority, it's just something, no, I'm not listening to that. And you're over here on an island and you're just convinced you're right, and no matter what anybody tells you, you're not. And you're over in this island, but you know, you stay out there, there's a danger out there. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, listen, it's dangerous to be out there without a covering. It's dangerous to function all of your life independent of God's government. With a man, woman, single, God wants us to plug in to his government, to his order, to that harmony and that relationship. Now go over, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to show you this real quick. You know, there's not usually a lot of amens on a message like this. You generally know that going in. Hallelujah. It's okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah! 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Now, you can see where Paul was dealing with it there. Because even in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, judge yourself. He says, is it comely for a woman to be out there operating uncovered? I've seen this in the past. Just refuse to be covered. That spirit gets on somebody, you know, and they just refuse to come undercover. They're just going to do it their way, and that's the way it's going to be. You know, it's an ugly thing, and it never prospers. Because Paul, watch what he says. He says, you were never made that way in the first place, to be like that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. He says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. That's pretty strong. Did you hear that? You know, what do you do with verses like this? You know, in the past, women goes, man, that's a pretty raw deal there, you know? But you don't know what he's talking about. Now, in Timothy, right here, Paul is preaching to the same church that he preached in Ephesians. He's writing to Timothy's church in Ephesus. Now, you remember when he wrote in Ephesians? Oh, he's really wonderful with the women. He said, husbands, love your wives, nourish them, cherish them. Listen, they're a little flower, you know. Help them bloom, real kind. Here he's just mean. He's downright mean. He's thinking, what happened? Here you are nice, and now you just got a hammer and a sword. Paul, are you having a bad day? Wrong time to write the book? He says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. You see that word, usurp authority over the man? Gives you a little clue who he's talking to. See, that spirit that got loose in the garden, that caused a breach in divine order, it got loose in the early church. And there was a sect of women moving around that refused to operate in covering. And the men of the church were not dealing with the situation. And Paul, as the apostle of the church, had to come in and say, listen, if you refuse to come under covering, continually usurping authority, because I will not suffer you to stand on a platform and teach with that kind of spirit and operation. He goes, as the apostle of the church, I'm not going to let it happen. Why? Because that spirit will begin multiplying itself. And Paul was the one strong enough to come in there and deal with it. And he dealt with it on the spot. But he wasn't telling women they couldn't teach. Why else would he say in Corinthians 11? He said a woman praying or prophesying uncovered, that means if she's covered, she's honoring her head and it's honoring to the church. But if she's praying and prophesying uncovered, she's dishonoring. Just like the man that's praying and prophesying covered, it's dishonoring to his head. And Paul was dealing with his spirit throughout. And that's why he's saying, listen, the woman ought to have power over her head. There must be that covering. Because what happened in the early church will happen again. You know, a lot of times we look at this and say, oh, it's not going to happen to me. That's not my issue. You're not preaching to me. Hallelujah. You know, if we're not afraid of this, if we let down the guard, what God's saying, listen, let me assemble my body in order. Take down the guard
Stop the defense mechanism. Come in together. How else can you grow into a body that will not break rank unless these issues are dealt with? You know, we should never let something that happened to us 20 years still today be dictating our actions. We should never do that. Something that happens 20 years ago dictating our actions today? When he was saying, let the woman learn in silence, he said, listen, God created you in a spirit of meekness. There's a meekness. You were called and created like that. And he was saying, learn like that. In fact, this is really what it says, a meekness and quietness. He was speaking to that woman. He said, listen, you're out of order. God, I know this is really going over very well today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. I want you to go, and I'm going to close with this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at what Peter says about it. Verse 1. It says, likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. In other words, if your wife, you're married to a man that doesn't know the Lord, he's giving you some revelation on how to live with him if you choose. Verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel. Listen, God has no problem with you wearing your hair and the putting on of apparel. What he's saying there, he says, if you have a husband, you're a woman, you're married to a husband, he doesn't know the Lord, he goes, you're not going to win him dressing like the world. That's not what's going to get him. What's going to win him is the meek. Now watch this, what he says in the spirit here. He says, but let the hidden man of the heart, verse 4, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. You know why he keeps getting back to that meek and quiet spirit? It's that nurturing aspect that women have. God created that nurturing. Why? Because he created for the children to nurture through that meek and that quietness. And that spirit, when we looked at it through Jezebel, I mean, you can see the major extreme there. From the way God created it, all the way to the breach in divine order, running a whole kingdom under the wrong spirit. When you see that progression like that, see, you see that something happened there. And he says, listen, that's not the way you were called to function. You know, there are plenty of women that are strong, and you should be strong in the spirit. There's no doubt about it. God called you to be strong. But you know, when we get into that domineering kind of thing, men or women, really, and that breach occurs, it opens the door. And what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do is close those gaps, because he wants an army that will not break rank in this last hour. Book of Joel. Joel's army. Now let's look at this again. Chapter 2. Look at verse 7. He says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall they thrust one another. They've dealt with that part. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. You know, that's an impossibility. Unless the issues are dealt with. To fall upon a sword and not be wounded is you're unoffendable. You cannot be offended. And you shall not break rank. The only way, my friends, that we're ever going to grow into the things of the Lord and not break rank is we have to come into the government that God has called. And the Spirit of the Lord will let us know when we get out of order a little bit. Husbands, wives, singles, children. God wants harmony and order in this last hour. And I'll tell you one major sign that will tell you when things are in order. If you don't get anything out of this, get this: peace. Peace and harmony will tell you when things are in order. Agitation, unrest, disharmony, turmoil, that will tell you things are out of order. So when everything is in order, peace becomes the covering. When it gets out of order, turmoil, constant turmoil. We must examine our life, our family, our relationships. Our relationships with one another, our relationship with the church, our relationships as husband and wife. Amen. Hallelujah.